How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
Well, the prophet Daniel tells about three men who walk with God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before the wicked king they stood. Now the king commanded them bound and thrown into the fiery coals that day. But the fire was so hot the men were slain, forced them on their way. They wouldn't bend, they held on to the will.
One of the more familiar Sunday school stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know that we could even pronounce most of the names in the Old Testament. Those just roll off the tongue of even the youngest Sunday school kids because the story is compelling. You do have to wonder, though, they're all gathered there together. The king has ordered that all would bow down to the image that he has erected, and no one would have known any different had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these companions of the Old Testament prophet Daniel, if they just simply would have bowed down, it would have simply passed without comment. No one around would have noticed, and yet they refused. And the question is, why? Why wouldn't it have been so easy to simply go along, get along, and in this case, not be thrown into a fiery furnace or be the subject of the king's anger and attention? Why did they refuse the king's edict to worship this image? We're going to be answering that question, among others, as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
So you picture all of these gathered dignitaries that were commanded to bow down to the king's image, and had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego simply bowed down, they just would have been anonymous faces in the crowd and no one would have ever noticed anything, and yet they refuse. Why didn't they bow down and worship this image?
They themselves give the answer. After their enemies tell Nebuchadnezzar, boy, these men are not bowing down to the image that you set up that we were to fall down and worship. And you said you would throw them into the burning fire. But then when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are approached, they say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, Daniel obviously comes after David, and perhaps Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the opportunity to read Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And you can take a look at other psalms like Psalm 146. He watches over you. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Now, I think the theme of the Sunday school lesson ought not be the faithfulness and confidence of the three men, but rather the faithfulness of God. Because if God had not made these promises, then they could not have been faithful to something that wasn't a promise. And we need to see it really clearly here. Recently on my program, I was criticizing Beth Moore, who has this idea that if you really trust in God, he'll deliver you from everything. But verse 18 is really clear. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, oh, by the way, if he doesn't deliver us, we still will not serve your gods or worship the golden image. because they knew, even from the Old Testament, as Job says, as David said when he lost his son, that there is a life after death. So I would say it was their confidence in the faithfulness of God that moved them to reject bowing down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar.
So there, it was their trust in God.
Yes.
Over against the king's edict, over against the threat of punishment, and really they even say that in their answer. They say, we're not going to even give you an answer. If it's true, we're just going to trust in God, and it's, one way or the other, we're not going to worship your false gods.
Exactly. Their minds were already made up. They had a certainty and a confidence, much like Jesus had, of course, on the way to the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But then ends up also saying, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So this confidence of believers is found not only in the Messiah, not only in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also in the apostles, all of whom, except perhaps for John, were martyred in some way or other for their faith in Jesus Christ.
So let's talk a little bit about the idolatry that they find themselves among. This is a king who does not, while he may acknowledge their God in some sense at the end of this story, he is still a purveyor of false gods. They're still living in a society where the many gods are worshipped, and some of these gods is apparently a legal requirement to worship them. Talk about that.
Yes. If you'll recall, when the centurion at Jesus' cross said, truly this must be the Son of God, he used a title that was supposed to be reserved for the emperor. He actually was taking his life in his hands when he confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. And the emperor, of course, that's one of the titles he used. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he had made an image of gold whose height was really high, 60 cubits, and its breadth, 6 cubits. I mean, that's pretty big. And he told everyone that those who would not bow down before it, when you hear the sound of the various instruments, then he uses the word, whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. So obviously he thought he was a god. As Adam and Eve so clearly point out, the real problem in sin is not just disobedience, it's an act of idolatry. We become God. We, in fact, every sin, the center of sin is the letter I. The center of pride is the letter I. We replace God with I. We become I-focused, namely me, what's in my best self-interest. And Nebuchadnezzar, the change that's about to take place in him is tremendous when you see that he wants to have them not just worship him, but worship this false idol he set up.
They're explicitly being commanded at the pain of death, because he does threaten the fiery furnace, to worship Nebuchadnezzar's gods. And someone might say to them, if they're coming from a polytheist kind of standpoint, as the king does, look, why not just add another god? You know, you've got your god, I've got my gods. All I'm asking you to do is just add your god into my gods, and you can worship all of them.
Not to worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar set up would be to therefore really speak out against Nebuchadnezzar. And in those days, there were a lot of assassinations, these things kind of going on. So a king had to be really careful. And so when those who hated these Jews, namely, it says, certain Chaldeans, they came forth to King Nebuchadnezzar and made known to him that when the instrument sounded and he had told everyone to fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not will be cast into a burning fiery furnace, they then say, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, that's what the Hebrew says. Actually, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are Chaldean names. They were changed from the original Hebrew. For example, Shadrach was Hananiah, which means God has favored. Meshach was Mishael, which is who is what God is. And Abednego was Azariah, which means Yahweh, the name of God, has helped. They changed their names to Shadrach, which means command of the moon god, Meshach, guest of a king, and Abednego, servant of the god Nergal. So this is something. First of all, these people, these Jews, their names are changed to relate them to the idolatry of the Chaldeans. But even with those names, they refuse to bow down. And in light of what Nebuchadnezzar had said, they were certainly taking their life in their hands.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 16th. Daniel 3, the three men in the fiery furnace. We'll get them in the furnace here in just a moment. Pastor hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, what they say to the king before he finally tosses them in the furnace is that our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace and out of your hand, O king. What does that mean? Right after this.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Conservative versus radical. Two extremes which offer us a window into considering the future of Lutheranism as well.
Dr. Larry Rast speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For there is a place for the confessional witness Lutherans have to offer in the places in which we find ourselves today. But that witness will only be faithful if it conserves the insights of the Reformation. And that conservation, I believe, is needed today more than ever.
You can listen to Dr. Rath's presentation, Making the Case for the Conservative Reformation, and teachings by Chris Roseborough, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorr-Heinz, Brian Wolfmiller, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Daniel chapter 3, The Three Men in the Fiery Furnace. What do we make of this? Because they seem to equate this fiery furnace with the king's hand. They say, if this be so, this is before they're thrown into the furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. This is, you can understand why the king becomes furious at this point. But what are they saying to him?
At that point, they are making the possibility that even though they would be thrown into the fiery furnace, they would be delivered from death. We could also understand it simply to mean that it really doesn't matter what would happen to them, even were they to die, that they would still be delivered from the hand of the king, because he would have, of course, no power over them to stop their spirits from ascending into heaven. The problem is verse 18 begins, but if not. So what's the if not referring to? It's referring back to being delivered from the burning fiery furnace. Now, about the only thing I can even think of coming close to that they would be aware of was when Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son. And many a time, if they draw an artistic rendering of that, they only have Abraham holding a knife. But that was only the first part of the sacrifice. This would have been, of Isaac, like the other animals, a burnt offering to God. And we see how Isaac was delivered from the hand of Abraham. So there may be other things they had in mind also from the Old Testament, but they do know that God has the power to deliver someone from a burning death, and therefore, why not? Remember, Moses saw a bush that wasn't even being burnt up, even though it was engulfed in fire. So that'd be another example. Then I believe when Elijah went to heaven, it wasn't only in a chariot with animals ahead of it, but it was also a burning, so to speak, but of course it had no singe effect upon Elijah. So, once more, what is their trust based on? Their trust is based on a God, or I should say, the God of what they knew, namely from the Old Testament writings, who had already delivered people in this way, and perchance he might do it here. But if not, we still won't serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. By the way, I don't think I mentioned it. The actual height, we believe, was about 90 feet tall and 9 feet in diameter. And it was, at that time, the most important Babylonian god was called Bel, B-E-L, and scholars believe that that's the god that Nebuchadnezzar had set up this idol to worship.
So they're thrown into the furnace. The furnace is, and the writer goes into great detail here to kind of drive home to us the nature of how certain it would be that someone thus thrown into the furnace would die instantly. In fact, the men who carry them to the furnace do die from its heat. But the king looks in and sees four men. Pick it up there, if you would.
Yes. Prior to that, he is so angry at them that he orders that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than it normally is. Now, that number 7 is kind of interesting. I think a few weeks ago we went over the number 40. But the number 7 is quite prominent in biblical order. First of all, you have the design that God has made in the heavenly lights with the 7 sunrises of a week. Then you have the moon's progress around the Earth, which is 28 days, 7 times 4 weeks. And Israel did have a lunar calendar. Then there was well known among the people the 7 visible lights in the sky, the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So a lot of times when you hear the word 7, it has a strong association with spiritual, heavenly, or divine items, namely the things of God. So Nebuchadnezzar was making sure that that 7 would occur. And I think, wasn't it Elijah that told Naaman to go dip in the water 7 times? And he was really angry about that because it was dirty water. But that would be bound up as Daniel is being written here. So he orders it 7 times, and as you indicated, the men also, you know, were burnt because it was so hot. But then all of a sudden, there's a 4th person. And Nebuchadnezzar says to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? A true, O king. But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt." And now this next point is really interesting. "And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Now, Peter Kurowski has already written a book, The Angel of Angels, where Jesus appears some 70 times in the Old Testament. This is prior to his incarnation. One of the most important being when he's in the burning bush. That's Jesus, if you just read it, because it says it is the angel of the Lord. The Father is never referred to as an angel, but Jesus is the angel of the Lord, unlike other angels that are an angel of the Lord. So here, as with the burning bush, God appears, so also once more. It is a fulfillment of the promise that they would be delivered from the burning fiery furnace. And that is because they're accompanied with Jesus.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the 3 men in the fiery furnace. Actually, there's a 4th in there. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It's in Daniel chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker hosts the radio show Law and Gospel. We'll conclude our conversation with him right after this.
"That I see is like the Son of God. They wouldn't bend, held on to the will of God. So we are told, would not bow, they would not bow their knees to the idols made of gold. Would not burn, they were protected by the 4th man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn."
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. If you enjoy biblical teaching like this, be sure to order an audio DVD from this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It contains teachings from some of your favorite guests on Issues Etc. on biblical womanhood, on law and gospel preaching, on the Lord's Prayer, the end times, the means of grace, and the conservative reformation. We'll send you an audio DVD for a recommended donation of $300 to Issues Etc. You can order by check, make a $300 check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Be sure to write Conference Audio DVD on the memo line of your check. You can also order at issuesetc.org. Tom, let's talk a little bit about what the king obviously concludes that somehow the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has appeared there in the furnace with them in order to deliver them. His conclusion when he calls them out of the fire is, your God delivered you. Talk about that.
Yes, and he says specifically, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel. And that I find quite interesting that Daniel has, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and delivered his servants who trusted in him. So once more, we're back to the big Reformation teaching that we are not saved by our obedience, but by our trust in the promises of God. And what an interesting turn of events. And I'm sure those who were against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were really sad to hear this. He makes another decree and says, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. In fact, I think one of the Bible verses that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably knew, since Isaiah was written before this, is Isaiah 43, verse 2. It says, and this is God speaking, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Now, the first part says, when you're going through waters, I will be with you. And it's just assumed that he'll also be with you when we walk through fire in this particular case. Now, that's not a promise to everybody at all times. And that's why I believe the three of them said, well, we could be delivered by him, as Isaiah 43:2 says, but even if not, we still won't bow down before you. And so this would be a great point to make to the Sunday school children, how witnessing can occur even when you're in the midst of suffering. I mean, who of us, Todd, haven't had members who have incurable diseases, and as time goes on, they become tremendous witnesses to their love of Jesus Christ and their belief in the promises that he will never leave them nor forsake them.
The king here talks about these men having been delivered by their God. I'm put in mind of Hebrews chapter 11, where there's a reference to this very thing. It says, by faith, they quenched the power of fire. It was not so much their faith, the strength of their conviction, but it was the object of their faith, wasn't it, Tom?
Yes, that's a huge distinction. A lot of people think when they say, I'm saved by faith, that means the confidence I have in myself to believe in Jesus, and so I can even invite him into my heart. But never is the word faith used to refer to your personal confidence as it is, as you just so well said, to the object of your faith, which is none other than Jesus Christ and his promises. And that's why I made the point that the source of the three men's confidence and unwavering faithfulness is not their faithfulness as much as God's faithfulness, which simply means that he always will keep his word.
With about 30 seconds, the law and gospel of the text.
The law is how many times, and I'm speaking to the children, do they go through something where there is fear? Well, what do they have to fear? I mean, the worst that could happen is they would be sent to hell, and that's been taken care of. So as they grow older and they get into colleges that are no longer teaching the Word of God and they're afraid, they need to, again, do what these men did. Turn to the Scripture, hear the Word of God, and be comforted.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the saints in heaven in Revelation chapter 19. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tom had mentioned Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, genuinely Christ-centered and cross-focused week after week. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss how to stay Christian in college with Pastor Marcus Zill of LCMSU, and we'll get our weekly update on the November elections from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. There's nothing to fear. That's absolutely true. I can't imagine being commanded to commit this kind of idolatry and then saying, when the opportunity came to simply be an anonymous idolater in the crowd, no, I will rather trust in the God who can deliver me from the king's edict. And yet they did so, because the object of their faith, this God who saves in Jesus Christ, is trustworthy. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.